Blog Talk Radio.
Attention Span Theater. This is your host, Zendetti T. That was Elvis Costello. What's so funny about peace, love, and understanding? Kind of an ironic choice for an intro, considering the guest who we have on today. Our guest is he who shall not be named. Actually, it's Jay Sizemore. Jay, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I've been hot to get this interview, and I'm glad we got it before you left Nashville. I don't know if you're going into the witness protection program, isn't that right?
I might as well. It seems that it might be best suited for the reputation that I have at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty sad. Let's do a little bit of the backstory. How long have you been writing, Jay?
Let's see. I've been writing since I was probably about 15 or 16. But in my youth, I was mostly centered around writing fiction. Actually, I wrote a short novel when I was in middle school. But I only seriously started pursuing writing when I was in college at Western Kentucky University, attended creative writing courses and poetry classes under Professor Tom Hunley. And then after I got out of college, I only really started pursuing publishing and trying to get my work out there since probably around 2014. So that's about the history.
How many books have you got published now?
I've put out 12 books of poetry, and I've put out one collection of short stories.
That's pretty an amazing feat for a guy as young as you are. I tell you what, Jay, I really dig your stuff. As a matter of fact, and I've told you this, of course, but I want the audience to know, the last time I was in a mental health institution, I left a copy of one of your books for the future visitors, I don't know what you want to call them, patients, I guess, for future patients to be able to have a chance to be turned on by your poetry. I'm really impressed by your poetry. And before we get into the real meat of the story, why don't you hit us up with one of your recent pieces, like the Charles Manson piece. Can you do that?
Yeah, sure. So let me pull it up here. So this poem I wrote on the news that Charles Manson had died. I saw, like, lots of people celebrating that he was dead on the internet, you know, saying good riddance and all that stuff. And I just thought about the irony of any person celebrating another person's death. So I thought I would write a poem about it. So this poem is called "When It Is Wrong to Mourn the Dead." Even forgiveness has its limits. Ask the mothers, ask the fathers, ask the brothers and sisters of the dead. The voices stilled in the throats of the young, the beautiful faces laid to rest before their smiles drew lines around happy mouths. Tonight, there are monsters crawling into heaven with knives between their teeth. There are madmen convincing angels to carve X's into their flesh. There are wild-eyed demagogues telling children they worship, and to burn is to live free, like vibrating cells exposed to catalytic chemicals. What is a cult except the pinnacle of belief? To smell the blood-soaked carpet and feel unafraid of ghosts, though those ghosts carry chains linked to the rusty cage of rage. This martyrdom is not self-aware. It's a false flag, an insect made tyrant, made giant under the magnified lens of historical inaccuracy. I do not take joy or pleasure from the texture of soot and ash rubbed between the fingers of an ambivalent universe. Just more smoke in my eyes as these senseless candles scorch and smolder their wicks, leaving only that fragrant filament of death and a black cloud billowing like a distant forest fire, waiting for the wind to bring it closer, close enough to feel the heat of that hungry thing that waits for us all in time.
End right. Fantastic. And even this got you some shit, didn't it?
I believe so. After it got published, I noticed that lots of people who liked my author page on Facebook started unliking the page, so that I could only assume people disagreed with the sentiment of the poem and were just like, "Oh, screw this guy," you know.
Well, this is not the first time. In fact, why don't we get into the meat of the story and why I really thought it was important to have you on? What can you tell us about the little fracas that occurred on Facebook and extended into what, Instagram and Goodreads and God knows what else?
Yeah, so I mean, it's a long, complicated story, to be honest with you. I've been dealing with what I call the internet shame mob for about 2 years, 3 years, actually. Started about, I guess, in 2014, midway through there. I started having interactions with people on Facebook that the only way to describe them is they hold an extremist view of feminism. And basically anyone who disagrees with them automatically gets labeled as a misogynist or a racist or any other ist that you want to throw out there. And,
right.
You know, I mean, I'm a feminist, you know, in that I support, you know, equal rights for everyone. I support women's rights, trans rights, gay rights. I'm all for all that stuff. I voted, you know, my voting is for candidates who support those causes. I have, you know, a complicated history with those issues. And the fact that they label me those terms is just a way to put me in a lower stature than they are, to kind of assume power over me. And so I fight back against that. I completely disagree with it, and my work that I've put out that has caused them to freak out about me has been just provocation to kind of sort of rub their nose in their hypocrisy of what they do. Because
right,
it's hard to say, but I mean, so it all started basically when, for real, I defended the editor of Rattle, Timothy Green, because he got labeled a racist when he put out the New York issue of his magazine, and somebody pointed out online on their page that there was no people of color in that book, and it was like a disingenuous publication because of that, because
right.
You know, obviously there's a lot of people of color who live in New York, yada yada yada. So
sure.
But here's the deal, okay? They don't look at people when they publish their poems. They look at the poems, and in fact, they don't even know who wrote the poems before they published the book. So there's no way they could have researched it or whatever and said, oh, well, maybe we should add some minorities in here or something. And actually,
let's bring the faggots and queers and Jews. Yeah, I understand.
Right.
Yeah.
And we got into a little bit of an argument about it, and I defended him, and I said, you know, it's judged on the works, not on the person. And so obviously they labeled me as a racist too and all that. But then having that backstory and what they said, you know, I put out a couple of poems that they were offended by. One of them was a poem about Islam, and I used Islamic phrases in the poem, like that are supposed to be about peace, on top of like a, I guess, a provocative thing, trying to antagonize the extremist jihadis for what they were doing at that time. They were
right.
Like destroying. They were destroying historical buildings and stuff because they said that it was against the prophet or whatnot. And so one of the lines in the poem is, Allah is a cunt. And that means just like, you know, it just like completely set off this whole thing. That poem got pulled from the magazine that it was in because of the outrage. And then another famous author like put the poem back out on the internet, and all that. And So then on top of that, the same day I published the poem Scowl on Revolution John magazine, thanks to editor Sheldon Compton. And that poem is about censorship and extremists and the extreme feminism view and how it works against free speech. And everybody freaked out about that poem because they said I was attacking one single poet.
Right.
Sarah Zerta is her name, or Serta, however you say her name. Everybody said that I was attacking her because the third part of the poem was specifically to someone named Sarah, and I don't use last names. I just use the first name, Sarah. It was not about that poet, but because certain details in that section of the poem sort of related to what her story was, or something about her experience with sexual assault or something, everybody assumed that I was attacking her, which is completely false. But they used that, it went pretty viral, really, in the poetry community anyway. And they used that to label me as a misogynist and, try to get me blacklisted from all these publications and stuff. It was pretty successful, really, because after that whole thing went down, I had, very hard time getting any of my poems out there in any magazines. People would see my name and they would say, can't publish this guy or whatever.
Right, trouble.
I went from putting out 300 to 400 poems in a year to probably only getting to publish about 50 poems in a year. So it definitely had an impact. The way that they work, the way that this group works, they have this secret Facebook group called the Binders of non-binary women and poets, basically.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sure.
It's basically, yeah, they do. It's serious, man. It's serious business. And there's, a select group of them that orchestrate the whole thing, and they are the administrators of that group, and they all the time are sharing on there who they consider to be problematic poets, who should be, blacklisted, yada, yada, yada. And so they are basically the controllers of the indie lit scene. If you go through and you look at who operates all these indie magazines on the internet now, it's like a network that's controlled by these people. So,
right.
It's crazy. But so there's all these threads on there about these poets, and actually one of those people started a Twitter sometime around then that said problematic publications, and it was a list of all the people that they considered to be problematic editors or writers. And anytime somebody did anything that they thought was offensive or whatever, they got listed on there. And that Twitter feed got shut down eventually because I found out who it was, or I thought I found out who it was, and I published it. And everybody freaked out. We're like, oh, it's not this person, it's this person, blah, blah, blah. So they closed down that Twitter feed.
How did you get banned from Instagram?
Yeah, so that's another piece of the puzzle.
It's really complicated, but I think it's an important story.
Yeah, so... Let's see, okay, so about a few months ago, I started putting out these videos where I was reading poetry in a tongue-in-cheek thing, trying to be humorous, trying to make fun of the pretentiousness that was coming along with what I was seeing in the poetry community and stuff. And I was like reading poems.
No,
like,
poets being pretentious, really? Really?
Right. Yeah, no. So I was reading with a cat, like a plush cat mask, and I was like doing like these really sarcastic poetry readings. I only did two of those videos, but they got like, you know, pretty good responses and stuff. And I was like, oh, this is neat. Well, let me all just keep doing this. And then like one of the writers that I was friends with on Facebook, her name, Lisa Cantoro, and I've been friends with her and her fiance, Christoph Paul, for quite a while. Christoph was actually the one who took up, you know, my support. Like he put out that one poem, the Islam poem that was banned from that website, which was Crab Fat Magazine. He put that poem out for me on his blog. And, you know, he also wrote a piece, like a sarcastic think piece or whatever, that I got killed by the internet mob. It was pretty funny. But at any rate, so Lisa, who has like this long history of promoting her writing and stuff, using her sexual, what do you call it, sex appeal for her work. She's like got like long, you can search her on Google and find like pictures of her naked and yada, yada, yada. So she uses that to get attention or whatever. So she basically she saw my video, she took my idea, and she did her own video reading where she wore. Yeah. She wore a plush animal mask and read stuff. And, but she was wearing a skimpy outfit, like no bra, just a tank top and panties. And, you know, of course, because of that, you know, you can see her nipples poking through her shirt and all this. She got like all kinds of comments and shares and stuff. And I basically called her out on it. I was like, hey, you know, you stole my idea. And you don't even, like, acknowledge it. And she completely denied it. She was like, I never even saw your video, which I know is a lie, because whenever you do Facebook Live videos, it shows you who watches your video.
Right.
And she commented on it.
So somebody hacked her account to watch you. That's a joke.
Well, no. No, they didn't hack my account.
Of course not.
What I'm saying is,
you could tell that it was her. That
yes.
She had seen your videos. It wasn't like somebody
yeah.
hacked her account to watch you.
Right. but at any rate, like that caused a whole other outrage because I called her out on her bullshit. Like I said, you know, you're just obviously using your sex appeal to get attention. And they labeled me a misogynist again. And they
attention seeking behavior on Facebook?
No kidding,
no.
Man. I know. And they made this other thread. They made all these threads, you know, this guy, blah, blah, blah. So I wrote a few poems, you know, that were aimed to piss her off. I admit freely that they were aimed to piss her off, and it worked. She got so upset. She, you know, rallied all these people to slam me and stuff. And at that point, I was just like, screw it, man. I've had enough of this, you know. I am going to provoke all the people who have tried to ruin me, I'm going to provoke them and write the most offensive poems of all time.
And you were successful. You were successful.
Very successful. I wrote a series of poems called the Misogyny Poems. They were basically just poems about rape and murder and dismemberment of these women. And I knew that that would cause a stir or an outrage. I started posting them on Instagram. And I did not, like, use, like, full names or anything. I used first names of people that I knew would think that those poems were about them. And they did. I don't know how these people must stalk me. Like, they must stalk my profiles. They stalk my Facebook. They stalk my blog. Anything that I do, they know about it. They're always posting about it in that secret Facebook group, you know. And what occurred was they all, like, they posted about it in that secret Facebook group. They got, like, 300-something comments on it, and they rallied to try to get me shut down. They got me banned from Goodreads because apparently one of them is friends with an administrator that works for Facebook or something, and they banned my ISP off my phone so that I can't even sign up for a new Instagram account if I want to.
Oh my goodness.
They did it by, yeah, they reported like all those poems and stuff. And so after that, after I was finished writing all those poems, I put out a book called Misogynist. And I tried to get it published on Amazon, on Lulu, Book Baby, Blurb, a couple other ones. And every time I would put out that book, they would go in and they would have all these people report it to them. And they got me banned from ever publishing with several of those people. Luckily, my Amazon publishing didn't get banned. I could still publish with them. But I had to edit the book. I had to go through and take out the names that I used to keep it published. So that book is still available. It's just called Censored now, and all the names in it were changed to just random BS names. But it is available.
So we're talking real live censorship. This
absolutely.
This is censorship.
I know, it truly is. And when I point that stuff out, when I say you're censorship, you're advocating for censorship, they will always throw out, it is not censorship, because it's only censorship if the government is involved. But
no.
That is a fallacy. Okay, that is a fallacy. Because censorship in its usual forms is advocated by the people. The people vote to ban these things. People have voted to ban books. People have voted to put people in office who advocate for banning offensive things. I mean, just look at what they did with, you know, Tipper
yep.
Gore, and all that.
Al Gore's wife, the PRNC, yeah.
Yeah. You know, and the whole parental advisory has to be on stuff, and Walmart can only sell these CDs if they delete the offensive words, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
That's censorship. I mean, it's not just censorship if it's a law on a book. I mean, if you go to Utah, you can't even see movies with offensive language in them or sex. Like, the people vote to have those elements reviewed from those movies in that area. That's censorship. It's not just the people's choice or whatever, okay? It's all so confusing to me, man. I just don't understand why they don't understand what they're doing is wrong. But at any rate, after the whole fallout of that, they they really pushed to get me blacklisted. Okay, they said, you know, this person should never be published again. All these editors, all these writers, they disconnected with me. They said they'd have nothing to do with me. Even Timothy Green from Rattle disconnected with me, banned me from posting it on the Facebook groups that were hosted by his magazine. I can't publish on there anymore.
I showed your stuff to one of my editors at Red Fez, and they were like, he's a little too hot right now. And
yeah.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, I've read your poetry at open mics without saying your name until the end of the poem. And everyone's like, wow, I've gotten.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, they think it's great stuff until your name becomes attached to it. That's why I jokingly referred to you as he who shall not be named, because, you know, as long as it's a random poem by somebody, it's fine. But if it's by Jay Sizemore, oh my God, you can't say it. You can't, you know, you can't give him any kind of cred. So, yeah, I've experienced it in my own personal way. So it's a bunch of bullshit, Jay. What makes you so important or so awful that all these people have rallied around a cause to blacklist you? I mean, you're just another guy. Your opinions are your opinions. That's great. You know, I've read extensively your materials. I think I have like 4 of your books, and I've read your blog and your website, and, you know, not all the poems. I can't relate to all your poems. That would be impossible. But I do relate to a lot of your poems, and what gets me is that you're talented. You're a really talented writer, Jay, and for them to be so petty about the whole situation,
the deal
just
is,
doesn't make sense to me.
It's all a power play. That's all it is. They hold fast to this concept that women writers or people of color writers are still oppressed, like they can't get published. But that is a antiquated view of publishing. In this new era of publishing, anybody can be published, and they have proven that by like having their own magazines online, publishing their own stuff. That's just like a circle jerk of these people who publish each other and then pat each other on the back. And then nominate each other for prizes, and like they'll post in that group. They'll say, oh, let's make sure that the binders submit to this contest. I want a binder to win this contest. You know, and if somebody famous or a white male writer, God forbid, wins a prize now, they like rally and they'll be like, oh, this person shouldn't have won. Another white male writer wins. How surprising, blah, blah, blah. Okay, but...
It's political correctness taken too far. It's political correctness taken to the absurd level.
Yeah, it's political correctness and identity politics run amok, because that's the only way these people can push themselves to the front of the line. It's affirmative action publishing, basically. And like I said, anybody can be published on the internet. If you want to get an audience, all you have to do is publish your work on, you know, your own website or your friend's website, and you can still get lots of readers. You can still gain lots of followers. You don't have to be published in the New Yorker anymore. You don't have to be published in the Atlantic. I mean, you know, certain poems have went viral just because they were published on Facebook. And people have gotten famous. I mean, just look at what that one Instagram poet, Rupi, however you say her last name, Rupi Kaur or whatever. She's a best-selling author now, and all she does is publish these little trite three-sentence poems, and she draws a little doodle, the little doodle of like a balloon or something underneath the poem, and gets like a million hits on it. And she is a best-selling writer. And people all hate her guts now. Oh, they hate this writer because she got popular. It's a backlash effect. It's just like anytime something becomes so popular that it goes mainstream, there's going to be this backlash, this group of people who say, "Oh, this is mainstream now. It sucks balls." It's exactly what happened with Nickelback, Creed, Metallica. Once they released the Black Album, you can look at the same pattern in writing. I really don't understand that concept, but once something's popular, it has to no longer be good. But whatever. At any rate, and then just recently, they got me banned from having a Goodreads account because I went through and one-star reviewed a lot of their books to get back at them because they had rallied to get my books one-star reviewed on Amazon. Like, if you look at my books on Amazon, there is a lot of one-star reviews of people going on there and saying, "Yada yada, this is terrible, this guy's terrible, blah blah blah." So I was like, let's show them how it feels. And so I went through and I one-star reviewed their books. They reported all those reviews and got me banned from Goodreads. But all the one-star reviews of my books are still there.
And funny how that works, Jay.
It really
funny
is,
how that
man.
Works.
I just don't get it. I really don't.
Well, I'm glad that you came on the show today, and I'd really like if you could hit us up with one more poem of your choice.
All
you
right.
can make it tame, or you can make it as tough as you want to. We believe in free speech on the new Gonzo Beats here at Short Attention Span Theater. We believe in free speech, so hit us up with any poem of your choice.
All right, I got this poem that I wrote recently. It's about censorship, fear of words. I'm afraid of words and what they might do. Rape, as a word, cannot be trusted. With its R, it uses as a rivet to shackle thin wrists and twist. Its A, it ambulates over frantic mouths like a palm to smother and stifle screams. Its P, it puts between legs and pries so the E can explore like an ether or ejaculate that enters where it is most unwanted. Kill, maim, murder, lie, all must be made archaic, must be stricken from our tongues to prevent future harm. Such grievous perils spoken can never be undone. To even whisper them renders them powerful, like a trigger in a gun, tethered to loose lips just waiting to be sprung. A poem is so heavy now it can never be lifted from the page. There are libraries filled with obscenity, sinking like cities built upon damp paper streets. We must put a torch to the pyre before it burns us, before it makes us feel what we felt before as pain. These words shouldn't exist, shouldn't open doors we want locked in our brains. So pass the gasoline and pass the blindfold, pass the blank white sheet of our sterile refrain and come closer. We can't see our breath now, but it's cold, cold, cold in our bones. So stay where it's warm, here by the flame.
And right. Fantastic, Jay. That's so great. Well, I want to thank you again. I want to thank you, Jay, for coming on today and taking the time to explain to people a little bit about what happened to you. And I just want to wish you the best of luck. I think you're a really talented writer. You keep on keeping on, man, because you're great. I've got your back. I tried to stand by you throughout this whole process, and I don't care if it gets me banned. You know, fuck the public without even trying these days. So.
Well, I really do appreciate it. The people who have still supported me through this ordeal are few and far between. I think I lost something like 900 Facebook friends once they rallied. Yeah. I had close to 3,000 Facebook connections, mostly writers, and now it's down to just a little over 2,000. So that's how many people decided to sever ties with me over the whole ordeal.
Well, it's a pretty sad statement on our society and pretty sad statement on those people. I wish you all the best in the witness protection program.
Yeah, thanks. I'll live out the rest of my days as he who shall not be named. Do not post my name on Twitter. Do not post my name on a blog. It will create bad publicity.
Oh, my goodness. Wow. To take us out, I'm going to play Battle Flag. How's that for you? Again, I really appreciate this, Jay. Thanks for coming on to Zendetti T. Before we close out, how can people get a hold of you these days? They can go to jsizemore.com, right?
Yeah, I have my website, jsizemore.com. I have my magazine that I try to run called crowhollowbooks.com. Even though they've pretty much got that shut down too, nobody submits to it anymore. I have my Facebook author page, which you can search my name on Facebook and pull that up. And of course, I have all of my work available on Amazon. So that's basically it.
Great. You're no longer on Instagram, no longer on Twitter.
Yeah, no longer on Goodreads. There's a myth that they got me banned from Twitter, but that's not true. I just shut down that Twitter feed because I didn't want to have to deal with people attacking me on there.
Right. Well, good for you, Jay. And good for you for coming on today and talking about this with me. I really appreciate it. Again, all the best to you. You're a real talent. And you just keep it up, man. You keep pissing, you know, power to the people, you know, good for you. So I'm going to take this out.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Sure. Okay, we're going to take this out. We're going to shut the show down with Battle Flag.
Thanks again.
Sure thing, Jay. Bye-bye.
Construction smells of corruption. I manipulate, serene creates. This air, it's a ground saga. Gotta launder my karma. Karma, 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 karma. Gotta launder my karma. Sims.